It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, February 7th, 2023. Well, I have another local maritime story to share with you today, and it's going to take a little telling. So I'll say, if you'd like to see today's ship schedule, you'll find it on my website at shipreport.net, along with the podcast as usual. Links to both will be on my Ship Report Facebook page. We'll talk more about ship traffic and cargo tomorrow. In our marine weather forecast, we're going to see higher winds and seas accompanying a cold front that's going to cross our waters today. Expect a coastal jet to form along the North Oregon coast into this afternoon. That means fast winds along the coast caused by a weather system kind of squeezing things up against the coast. It's a coastal phenomenon that's kind of unusual, but does happen fairly often here. A bit of a break on Wednesday. However, another low will develop over our Northeast Pacific area with, we're not sure what impacts to our coastal waters. I'll keep you posted. We have a gale warning in effect through this afternoon, hazardous seas warning in effect from this afternoon through this evening. And the forecast for today, southwest winds 20 to 25 knots, gusting to 45, becoming west 20 to 25, gusting to 30 in the afternoon, combined seas 17 feet, with a dominant period of 14 seconds apart. Rain is in the forecast. As of yesterday evening, the Columbia River Bar was back on yellow status, which means that some ships may be asked to wait and not cross the Columbia River Bar until the weather improves. Well, it's with a heavy heart that I share this story with you today. In amongst the crazy news items about odd maritime events that we've seen in recent days, this is a story that is an age-old one in our region, and truthfully, anywhere in the world where people go to sea to catch fish, or in this case, shellfish. It's a story of fishermen going to sea and something going catastrophically wrong, as things did in the ocean off Willapa Bay on Sunday for one commercial fishing boat and her crew. Fishing families are no strangers to this type of news. And in our small maritime community, almost everyone knows someone who works in the fishing industry or has worked there at one time. This story is from the Chinook Observer from yesterday. Quote, two crew members were rescued and a third is still missing after the 46-foot fishing vessel Ethel May out of Bay Center, Washington, sank on February 5th at the mouth of Willapa Bay at around 7:26 p.m. Crews from U.S. Coast Guard Station Grays Harbor and Air Station Astoria responded to the sinking after an emergency beacon was activated, and the wife of one of the men called 911 to report an emergency on board. A helicopter from the air station was able to rescue two crewmen from a life raft at about 8:10 p.m. The survivors said a third and final crew member was still missing. At the time of the sinking, sea swells were reported to be about 6 to 7 feet. However, breaking surf near local beaches has been energetic in recent days. The U.S. Coast Guard worked throughout the night and on Monday, continued to search for the missing crew member. His name is Brian Fitch, a young man residing in Bay Center. Close quote. And that's from the Chinook Observer. You can find the complete story on their website at chinookobserver.com. Pieces of the boat have been found in the ocean surf. As of yesterday evening, the missing fishermen had not been found. The Coast Guard, as of 6 p.m. yesterday, had not called off the search, as far as I could tell. So let's send our best thoughts for a good outcome to this situation. I want to talk about this today because these folks are people who live here in our region, who are part of the fabric and foundation of our Pacific Northwest communities, part of who we are. And we owe them and people like them a lot. Every fish dinner you enjoy at home or eat in a restaurant, every crab you buy at the fish market or the dock, or even somewhere like Costco, represents literally the blood, sweat, and tears of a fishing family somewhere. People taking great risks so that we can eat wonderful fresh food with ease. When things go wrong, we owe it to them to honor them. I think it's important to acknowledge these losses, though they don't draw the kind of attention nationwide that other stories get. But the sad truth is that it's not unusual for people who work at sea to suffer tragedy and sometimes die there. So we and our local communities need to notice and take a moment to regret what's lost. The loss of a fishing boat like this, like those seen in fishing communities up and down the West Coast, represents tremendous loss of livelihood for the people or person who owned it, not to mention life-changing trauma for the people who survived and the potential loss of life for a crew member and community member. We need to honor these tragedies with reverence and kindness, because out there, families are grieving the loss of a son, a brother, perhaps a father, and a crewmate. They were fishing for Dungeness crab. Dungeness crab fishing, I probably don't need to tell you, is a very dangerous profession. In the West Coast U.S. fishing industry, the death toll is 310 people per 100,000. The U.S. average for commercial fishers is 124 deaths per 100,000. And for comparison, the U.S. average for all workers is 4 deaths per 100,000. So that gives you some idea of the risk. Between 2002 and 2012, 28 Dungeness crab fishers died on the west coast of the U.S. At the same time, there were just 45 injuries reported to the U.S. Coast Guard, a non-fatal injury rate of approximately 340 per 100,000. Shoulder and arm injuries are the most common, followed by hypothermia. But experts say this is probably an underestimate. That's because injuries and incidents often go unreported. I found a really interesting magazine online called Hakai Magazine, which featured an article about the Dungeness crab fishery. It's where I got some of the data that I shared with you here. Their stories highlight coastal life around the world. They're based in Victoria, BC. You can find them online at hakaimagazine.com. An expert quoted in an article they published about the Dungeness crab fishery said, quote, "There's no reason to report anything if they don't need assistance. Fishermen are fairly tough guys. They down a couple of Advil and keep right on going," close quote. Tough guys and tough women, I would add. So it's a tough job with a lot of risk, and we kind of take for granted that we can go to the store and just buy seafood. Sometimes it's only when these kinds of incidents happen that we make the connection between what's on our plate and the work it takes to put it there. So keep a kind word in your heart for that missing fisherman and for the people who were rescued and for their loved ones. I'm sure that they all could use a little mercy now. You're listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.